Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 86, Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra, text number 17. Tayo prasano bhagavan tarukena hritam ratam aruyasaka munibhir videhan prayayo prabhu tayo prasano bhagavan Tarukena hritam ratam Ahuhya sakam
munibhir
Videhan prayayo prabhu Sleeping. If you don't sleep, then you go crazy. Then some sense gratification is required, and defending, protecting oneself, either from the elements or from the, you know, from other predators or whatever. So most of material existence, or most of existence, most of society's efforts are focused on these four activities: eating, sleeping, sense gratification, and defending. This is what they're. But as Prabhupada points out, you know, this problem has already been solved by the animals. The animals already have these problems sorted out. They're eating, they're sleeping, they're having their sense gratification, and they're defending. So, you know, if the animals can sort these things out, why do the human beings have to worry so much about these activities? Especially when, in the human form of life, we're given an opportunity to pursue a higher ideal or a higher standard of achievement, which means to realize our spiritual identity, to come to a spiritual understanding of things. Just like we were reading yesterday, or in the previous verses especially, the Brahmana, Shrutadev, he is characterized by certain qualities. One of the, and very learned, kavi, prasanna, peaceful, and satisfied with what he's got. So as a Brahmana, whatever comes, he's satisfied with. And he lives a simple existence, focused on his duties as a Brahmana. So he's a good example of somebody who doesn't over-endeavour for the material requirements, but uses whatever he has for the purpose of basically self-realization. That's what's recommended. So the sadhus or saintly persons are reluctant to associate with persons whose focus it is basically on these four material activities. And as a consequence then, the sadhus or saintly persons, the sannyasis, would avoid the association of kings, of the royal order, especially because the royal order and the kings means basically, you know, they're involved in, very much involved in these activities, eating, sleeping, you know, because they have a very opulent lifestyle. And a good example of this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association with Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra was the king of Orissa, or the king of Puri certainly, and a very great devotee. His associates were personalities like Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy was one of the very intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. And Maharaj Prataparudra also was a devotee of Krishna and a devotee of Jagannath, and also a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and Ramananda Roy was sort of like, he's not a Kshatriya, but he's Prabhupada explains, a Kayasta, which from what I can understand means, well, basically it's almost a Sudra category, but really an administrator who works for the king, basically, like a public servant, right? But of a very highly placed position. He was the governor of Madras, so that puts him in a, you know, he was also, not okay, he may be called a Kayasta, so which is not a higher class, but he's an influential personality. So Ramananda Roy wanted to get his pension early so that he could just spend time with Lord Chaitanya and remain in his association and render service to Mahaprabhu. And of course Ramananda Roy's service to Mahaprabhu was to recite the Bhagavatam and to recite different verses. They would discuss topics about Krishna. So Ramananda Roy is a very elevated devotee. And of course when he asked for early retirement and pension, the Maharaj Prataparudra said, yes, definitely, sure, you can have, you know, you can retire now. But he would beg Ramananda Roy, please arrange it so that I can meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is a continuing theme in the Chaitanya Charitamrita for a number of chapters, where Maharaj Prataparudra attempts in a variety of ways to get the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And when Ramananda Roy asks Lord Chaitanya, he describes the glories of Maharaj Prataparudra and explains what a saintly personality he is and what a great devotee he is, then in an attempt to influence Lord Chaitanya to see Maharaj Prataparudra, then Lord Chaitanya would always avoid his association. And even he said, he's a wonderful devotee. He's a wonderful devotee. He has so many good qualifications. But it is all spoiled by one thing. And the fact is that he's the king. He gave the example. He said, there may be gallons and gallons of milk, but if those gallons and gallons of milk are contaminated by one drop of liquor, then the whole thing's useless. This was his comment to Ramananda Roy. Yes, he's a great devotee, but he's a king. So therefore, a materialistic person, or a person, not so much a materialistic person, but a person who has to deal, Prabhupada says, a pound, shillings and pence man. In other words, somebody has to deal with the material energy very, very intimately. And he said, I am a sannyasi, and a sannyasi takes a vow to avoid any contact with the material, that which is material. So he was making the point, yes, Maharaj Prataparudra may be a very, very great devotee, but there's one thing that stops me from associating with him. And then he gave another example. He said, just as a white cloth is contaminated by one black mark, so similarly, a sannyasi who may be a very elevated devotee can be contaminated by just this one association of a materialistic person. And so therefore, I can be criticized. I can be criticized for associating with Maharaj Prataparudra. So Lord Chaitanya was very, very strict sannyasi. You know, it mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how his female disciples would pay their obeisances from a very long distance away, honouring his vow of sannyas. So, after various attempts to petition him and persuade him to, and it wasn't only Ramananda Roy but the other devotees, numerous attempts to get Lord Chaitanya to see Maharaj Prataparudra. Initially, what Lord Chaitanya said was, send his son, and then because the son is the representative of the father, the son is as good as the father, then by seeing his son, then that'll be as good as seeing the father. Of course, that didn't satisfy Maharaj Prataparudra. It turned his son into a great devotee. By getting the darshan and association of Mahaprabhu, then Maharaj Prataparudra's son was overcome by ecstatic love of Krishna. So when Maharaj Prataparudra sent his son, he dressed him in golden yellow garments and with a peacock feather in his hair, and he just reminded Lord Chaitanya of Krishna. And so Lord Chaitanya was overcome with ecstasy, and then he embraced Maharaj Prataparudra's son, and then the boy was overcome with ecstatic emotions in love of Godhead. So in this way, Mahaprabhu tried to appease Maharaj Prataparudra, but still he wasn't satisfied. And so we have the pastimes of, and it wasn't until Maharaj Prataparudra pretty much renounced his royal garb and presented himself at the end of the Rathiatra festival, presented himself more or less in the guise of a sudra, or in the clothes of an ordinary man, that that more or less the devotees played a trick on Lord Chaitanya, and when he was absorbed in his devotional ecstasy after the performance of the Rathiatra festival, then Maharaj Prataparudra came in the guise of just an ordinary devotee and started to recite the Uddhava Gita from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Then Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and in this way he got the personal association of Lord Chaitanya. But the principle is also illustrated here. The sadhus, Vyasadev and Narada Muni, Atri, Vamadev, Parasuram, all of these very elevated brahmanas and sadhus, renunciates, they were reluctant to get on the chariot of Krishna. Reluctant to get on Krishna's chariot. Uh, basic principle of the devotees, basic principle is asat sanga tyag, that one doesn't associate with persons who are too attached to material things, asat sanga. And there's a very good reason for that, because in the association of materialistic persons, then what can happen is, by that association, one can become infected by material attitudes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns his devotees very, very strongly. Of course, by that example of not wanting to associate with Maharaj Prataparudra, he was teaching a lesson. The devotees generally avoid the association of materialistic persons, in the sense that they don't associate with them too closely. Not that we avoid people, you know, because if that were the case, then we'd have to go and live in, you know, live in the forest. To avoid materialistic people, you'd have to go and live in a very isolated place, especially in this, in the environment that we live in. But rather, not so much that we avoid people, but rather we avoid the association, we avoid the mentality of such persons. And there's a reason for that, because the devotees are very cautious and very careful to create an environment in which they can chant Hare Krishna in a very pure-hearted, very clear, focused fashion, with attentiveness, and avoiding materialistic conceptions. You know, as sadhakas, the devotees avoid materialistic activities: no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no improper connections between the sexes. So that's to keep their consciousness focused and pure, clear. And one of the reasons why the devotees avoid materialistic persons is because, generally speaking, they are habituated to bad habits and also critical mentality. This is very important, having a critical mentality. And so therefore, asat sanga tyagi vaishnava cha, the activities of a vaishnava are focused very much on avoiding improper behavior and associating with people who have a materialistic bent. Because, you know, if we associate with materialistic persons, then the danger is that we unleash what is called a mad elephant offence. The devotee, Lord Chaitanya, in his description of the activities of a devotee, he likens the devotee to a gardener. And the gardener, a gardener, if he's sensible, one of the first things he does is puts a fence up around his garden. Right? If you don't put a fence up around your garden, what happens? So if you're growing a garden at New Nandagram and you don't put a fence up around it, what happens?
The wallabies come and trample it.
They don't, yeah, the wallabies. Well, the kangaroos come and eat it. The cows come in and they eat everything. I mentioned this before, the cows eat everything, and then the pumpkins that they can't eat, they just tread on them and smash them. So basically, you know, if you let an elephant into your garden, then what does it do? It just destroys everything. And this elephant is the hatimata, mad elephant, is this criticism of others, basically. It's a very simple thing. And materialistic people generally are critical. They're envious. Envious of Krishna and envious of each other. And so, you know, what do envious people do when they see somebody who's better than them? What do? Trample them down, yeah, basically. Criticize them. Even if they've got lots of good faults, they'll find the bad fault, the bad thing, and then criticize that. So the sadhus or saint, the devotees, the Vaishnavas, are very, very careful about fencing off their devotional creeper so that it can grow in a protected environment. And so this point of asat sangha tyag, giving up bad association, is an essential element of making progress in spiritual life. You know, even if you have the best intentions, bad association can destroy the best intentions. And so therefore Prabhupada says, you know, it's recommended that the devotees surround themselves with pure devotees who don't see a fault in others. Or if they see the fault, they disregard the fault and concentrate on the good qualities. In order to keep the consciousness, one's devotional service intact, and especially to avoid offences in chanting Hare Krishna, then the Vaishnavas are recommended to be careful, be discriminating in who we associate with. Even in devotional service, the activities of devotional service can appear to be devotional, but actually have a material motivation. And so it appears to be devotional service. But these... Chaitanya... not only does the gardener keep the fence around the garden, but also he has to be good at weeding. Also, if you're going if you're growing a garden, then you want to cultivate the plants. Or the plant, in this case the devotional creeper, without diluting or dissolving one's energies in, you know, cultivating something that's not devotional service. So even in devotion, and so therefore one has to be careful to pull out the weeds. When you're growing a garden, you're watering and fertilizing the soil to get the plants growing, but in the process you also get weeds come up, unwanted plants. And this is one of the reasons why we avoid that kind of association, avoid materialistic association, because subtle, it's very subtle. And we can become enamored or contaminated by material pursuits which won't be helpful for us. And so therefore we have to become expert at identifying this is devotional service and this isn't. This is a devotee and this isn't. Of course in our preaching we'll approach anybody and encourage anyone to engage in devotional service. That's a given. But especially for the Madhyam Adhikari, the middle, you know, an aspiring devotee, then they're careful to identify this is a devotee, this is a non-devotee, I'll avoid the non-devotees. This is an innocent person, I'll encourage them. So, but there's again, this point, asat sangatyag, I'll give up the association of persons who will not help me. So that's evidenced here by this behaviour of the sadhus. They are reluctant to get on Krishna's chariot because it's a very opulent vehicle. And Krishna's the king. You know, he's the king. Now they want to be with Krishna, and obviously they did travel with him. But ordinarily, the renunciates wouldn't travel in such a way. Because by associating with the kings, there may be this attraction for this kind of, you know, endeavour and this kind of pursuit of material things. You know, the saintly persons would be more inclined to travel under their own steam, if you like, walking from place to place. Not being dependent on anybody, is the nature of the brahmanas. Independent. And not influenced by anybody. You know, when the king picks you up in his big chariot and takes you for a ride, then he might become accustomed to that. Think, oh, that's pretty good. I can ride around in a chariot all day long. But, and they're all honouring me because I'm a great devotee. They're respecting, you know, Krishna's representative. Although it's interesting, Prabhupada put things in proper perspective. We discussed this on many occasions. Actually, you know, it is proper for the devotees to be honoured with a chariot. You know, but when Prabhupada came to Melbourne, and the devotees picked him up at the airport with a Rolls Royce, then the reporters were questioning Prabhupada. You know, how come they're picking you up in a Rolls Royce? And Prabhupada says, what is this Rolls Royce? It's just a, you know, tin can. For the representative of Krishna, should be a golden chariot. Should be the best. So it's interesting. Honouring Krishna's representative is one thing, but Krishna's representative, you know, hopping in the chariot and thinking, okay, I'll take it for a spin. That's another thing. And so therefore the sadhus or the saintly persons, they would generally avoid, keep life very simple. Keep it simple, not complicated. And, you know, the life of the king is very complicated and there's intrigue and diplomacy and, you know, fighting even. The Kshatriya's responsibilities are very, very different to the responsibilities of the Brahmanas, and so the Brahmanas wanting to keep their life simple. And so this is the kind of thing. In association with the materialistic people, then kuti nati, which means basically diplomatic, you know, dealings. Ahimsa, violence. So this is the opposite of the sadhus' activities. The Kshatriyas perform these activities, ideally, under the instruction of the sadhus. And so therefore they keep that in connection with Krishna. But because there's that danger, then the saintly persons avoid that kind of association. So on the one hand, we can use everything in Krishna's service, but on the other, it is recommended that we keep things simple, not complicated, and avoid the association of materialistic people, lest things start to become complicated. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these? Well, at this point, it's a pretty simple point.
understand this type of Vedic culture in our current time and place.
In ISKCON.
Yeah.
Well, brahmacharis should live simple lives. Grihasthas should live simple lives. Vanaprasthas should live simply. Sannyasis should live simply.
But I mean, like, by today's standards, that simplicity is not... Like, you know, we have, like, these electronic gadgets and cars, all lots of things.
Yeah, we can use those things in... Well, I think Prabhupada gave us the example. We can use things when it's appropriate in Krishna's service. When we're using it just for our own sense gratification or for our own amelioration, then it's maybe there's a problem. It can become problematic. One of the symptoms of understanding spiritual, or making advancement, basically, Prabhupada says, is that one's desire for material facilities decreases automatically in correspondence with or in relationship to one's attachment for chanting Hare Krishna and for devotional service. So we can utilize almost anything, practically speaking, in Krishna's service, but when we start to become attached to that facility in and of itself, then things start to get a little dangerous. I remember when I was in the 80s, you know, the devotees were doing a lot of collection, actually. We were doing a lot of fundraising. And amongst the brahmacharis, it became popular to get a Rolex watch. But if you had a Rolex watch, then you were like, pretty cool. Right? Now, you know, you only really need a $5 Casio to tell the time. But, you know, or you had an Amiga, if you're Seiko, like Casio's low class, Seiko's step up. Amiga's better, but if you really want to be on the top of the ladder, then you have a Rolex. But you know who was wearing the Rolexes? Who was wearing the Rolexes? The sannyasis. The sannyasis were wearing the Rolexes, and that's how the brahmacharis got the Rolexes, because they were given to them by the sannyasis. But it became like a status symbol. So, you know, it was, but it's not really part of devotional service, having a Rolex. In fact, it could be argued that it's quite extravagant to have a Rolex watch. Anybody here got a Rolex?
Yeah.
Okay. There are some...
Somebody gave me.
Yeah, of course. Of course, it was given to you. Are you sure it's a real one, Mahatma? So, yeah, that, you know, when it becomes sort of like a status symbol or a... And you see it, you know, what kind of motor car do you drive? Where is your house situated? This is it, you know, this is an extension of that kind of mentality. So generally speaking, we try to keep things simple. Prabhupada kept things very, very simple. You know, he tried to save money as much as possible and utilize then the funds that he saved for his book printing so that he could then distribute more books. So, you know, Prabhupada's mood was, if people offered him these things, he would accept them. It's interesting what Prabhupada would do. He would accept them, But then the next place that he would go to, he would just give them away. So he wasn't attached to having a Rolex watch. Or he was given. Actually, you know, Prabhupada was given one a new digital watch. But then you had to press the button to be able to see the time. And Prabhupada said, you know, he made a comment that, you know, before you only had to use one hand to tell the time, now you've got to use two. So this is advancement. So Prabhupada would be given things, but then he'd just give them away in the next place. He would be given clothes and so forth. He would be given things. But then the next temple that he would go to, then all of those things that he was given in the previous temple, he would give out. Then a whole devotee would give him a whole bunch of new things, and the next place he'd go to, he'd give them away. So, you know, following in Prabhupada's footsteps, because, you know, renunciation means accepting things that can be utilized in Krishna's service, not rejecting them just because they're material. But by the same token, there is this principle of simplicity. Arjavam. Samo damastapaso cham chantir arjavam eva cha. So, you know, the principles of the brahmanas and very much, you know, we're cultivating a brahminical society, a brahminical culture. So, peacefulness, samo dhamma, sense control, tapa, austerity, you know, making spiritual advancement, whether we like it or not, means performing austerities. This is when Lord Brahma was confused as to what his duty should be, then it was indicated to him that he should perform austerities by the slapping of the water up against the water of the in the navel of Garbhodakasaya Vishnu was slapping up against the lotus stem, and it was making this sound, tapa, tapa, tapa. And so he understood that he should perform austerity. So he meditated for 1,000 years of the demigods. And in that meditation then, because he was that tapasya was actually very pleasing to the Lord. It was his devotional service at that point in time. And then as a result of his pleasing the Lord, then he was able to understand what his service should be. Right? It wasn't the austerity that pleased the Lord necessarily, inasmuch as it was his following the Lord's indication of what to do, if you know what I mean. Because, you know, sometimes devotees think, yes, I won't eat, you know, I'll only eat in a small bowl. But then they stack it right up. So it's not so much the austerity that we perform, but rather it's the service that pleases Krishna that reveals spiritual understanding to us. So in this particular case, Lord Brahma pleased the Lord by performing austerities, and then he was able to understand what his service should be, how he was supposed to create the material creation. He understood what to do. In fact, Krishna revealed himself and spoke the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam were revealed. So in this way, Krishna appears in the form of the super soul, Chaitya Guru, and instructs us. Right? Tapasya, austerity. Cleanliness, socham. Chantir means being tolerant or forbearing. Right? Because if you're performing austerities, what does that mean? You have to put up with inconvenience. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to control the mind and the senses. When the mind and the senses are saying, this is why this bad association, asat sangha, is not good. You know, the example that I always give is, I remember when I was working at the zoo, and, you know, I was only young, 18 years old, or maybe not even 18. And, you know, we used to get paid daily because, basically because we were working with a bunch of alcoholics. And so they, you know, they get paid in the evening and then they go down to the pub and drink all their pay. And that's why they got paid on a daily basis, because if you paid them at the end of the week, they'd drink all everything and then there wouldn't be anything less for the rest of the week. But I used to think, okay, I'll save my money, which was pretty hard for me to do at any time, what to speak at 18. But, you know, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'd have my pay saved up. But then my friends would come around on Thursday. Hey, come on, let's go down the pub. No, not going to the pub. Come on, mate, what's wrong with you? So, you know, I learnt on more than one occasion the dangers of bad association. And when your friends came around and they could easily help you spend your pay. So, you know, there'd be nothing left by the end of a Thursday night out on the town, and then you'd be lucky to get to work on Friday morning. But you have to, because that was all you would have left for the rest of the weekend. So, bad association. And you know, we're living in a society or an environment where sense control, mental control, these things are just not encouraged. You know, advertising, especially television, especially, basically encourage us to be out of control. Right? Do this, do that, buy this, taste this, smell that, wear this, drive that. Right? If you're driving the latest Ford, then that's the experience of life. Huh? That's what it is at the moment. Ford have got a new motor car out, so you know, now they're telling everybody, this is it. If there was anything, then this is it. And it's just ridiculous. It's just another motor car. In fact, it's not much different to the one that they had, that they made last year. In reality. But they've changed the shape of the lights. Yeah. Changed the shape of the steering wheel. Put a little bit of extra room in the front for your legs. And then all of a sudden now this is it. So, you know, we're not encouraged by materialistic, or, you know, by this uncontrolled mind and senses, that, you know, that influence, that kind of influence is very dangerous. You know, and isn't it interesting? What a crazy society we're living in. You know, people are finally waking up to the idea that, you know, if you let teenagers out all night drinking, then what they do is they kill themselves, right? They get into fights. And they bash each other up and they kill each other. So, in order to control this, the government's deciding that, you know, we should close these venues at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right? Now what's happened? There's a protest. Hey, what are you doing? You can't stop this. And you know, there is vested interests. There's vested interests. You know, the people who are selling the alcohol, they don't care that the kids are killing each other. They just want the money. Right? You know, there's a story. Just recently, last year, you know, there was a fight. And there's always fights. You know, you're now allowed to keep your venue open if you have a certain quantity of bouncers. Right? If you have a certain quantity of bouncers, then, you know, they'll keep control of everything. But, you know, it's just crazy. Last year, there was a young boy who got involved in a fight and he had a chair stuck in his head. Right? So he had a chair, right? The leg of the chair had to be sawn off. They had to take him to hospital to pull the leg of the chair that was stuck right down into his neck. And this is, you know, this is that's just a Saturday night, a Saturday night's entertainment. And you know, basically, in Australia, you know, it's a booze culture. Binge drinking is the norm. You know, there's all these shock horror. What are our children doing? But the parents seem to have forgotten what they were doing when they were teenagers. Now children are just doing the same things. But that's the kind of society, that's the kind of environment that we're living in, that we want to protect ourselves, what to speak of our children from. Because that kind of environment even subtly can influence the mentality of a person. It can influence it. So that, you know, when somebody comes up with a sane idea like, you know, we should stop fueling our children's entertainment with alcohol and letting them stay out till, you know, all hours of the morning, then when it's somebody realises, hey, this is probably not a good idea, then when you promote that, then everybody goes, hey, what are you doing? There's a protest. Somebody comes up with a good idea to stop violence and abusive behaviour, and so what happens? There's a protest, and they eventually allow it to happen. So it's subtle. That kind of association is very, well, not that subtle, but it's actually quite gross. But the influence is subtle. So we see that here with the in ISKCON. Basically, we have to be very careful about that, and we have to understand what kind of an environment we're living in. We have to understand the dangers inherent within it, and we are recommended to, you know, follow these different principles: peacefulness, cleanliness, austerity, sensual and mental control. Recommended. And accepting, more or less, you know, basically accepting what's necessary and avoiding things which aren't ultimately necessary for us.
You want to tell us something about Vrindavan's Thakur? Did he appear his
name? Well, I could if I knew something, but I don't, so Vrindavan's Thakur. Vrindavan's Thakur was the author of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he was the son of Narayani, was it?
Narayani.
And he sucked Lord Chaitanya's toe when he was a baby. I think that's about the length and breadth of my understanding of my knowledge of Vrindavan's Thakur. Very exalted devotee, obviously, because he was witness to, or certainly associated with, the devotees who knew of the Lord, especially of the Lord's early pastimes as a child. Chaitanya Bhagavat generally concentrates on those activities of Lord Chaitanya, whereas you'll find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita a lot of information about the Lord's later pastimes. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Asat Sangha, yeah.
Sometimes we have some non-devotee friends.
So you have some non-devotee friends.
Yeah, so we invite them to the house in the mood of Kundas and associate with them, give them prasadam.
Is it
still recommended, or we should totally avoid it?
Up to you. You have to use your intelligence. I have quite a few friends who are not devotees as such, but they're sympathetic and appreciative of devotional service, of what I do, and you know, they're they're supportive. So, you know, we do want to encourage and cultivate, you know, friendships with people so that they can appreciate and perhaps become sympathetic to Krishna consciousness, right? So it's not that we just blindly, you know, reject everybody. You know? Yeah, he gives. Yeah.
So we shouldn't really take their association by taking their lifestyle and habits.
Yeah.
But we should actually show them by our lifestyle and habits that there is a better life.
Yeah. Yeah, and even in that situation, one doesn't necessarily have to shove the Bhagavad Gita down their throats. Do you know what I mean? But rather, by friendship and friendship, basically, we can demonstrate, you know, the sanity of a devotee's life. Assuming that we have a sane life as a devotee. Huh?
We should be scared of their association. If we're strong in devotion.
Yeah, if we're strong. Well, that's the key point. If a devotee is not strong and he's subject to the influence of others, then better to keep, you know, good fences, make good neighbours. But if one's comfortable in one's own Krishna consciousness, then, you know, you can have an unlimited variety of friends and you can help influence them. Good point. All the villages. Yeah, dira dira jano priya priya karo. Described to how the six Goswamis were friendly to everybody. In fact, Sanatan Goswami, his disappearance day is Guru Purnima, and he's worshipped in Govardhan even to this day because he was friendly to everybody, and he would give advice to everyone, even if it was, you know, who do you think I should marry my daughter to, right? But he was. But a very elevated devotee, right? Sanatana Goswami, obviously a very elevated personality. But he was friendly and helpful to everyone. And so they loved him. And so that was for their benefit. Right? But he's exalted personality. You know, if you're going to be influenced by your friends when they say, ah, come on, let's go down the pub, then you perhaps maybe not want to invite them to your house. As an example. Yeah, no, definitely we can invite as many people. Fill them up with prasadam. That's what we do here. Right? We encourage anybody and everybody to come and then we fill them up with prasadam. Yeah.
And we don't get
that assertion, they get Krishna's mercy. Alright, we should finish here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.